All right, so today I have a very special guest. Her name is Marnie, and she is the original, the one and only, actually, Wing Girl, who owns the Wing Girl Method and runs the Wing Girl Method. Nice. Thank you so much for being with me, Marnie.
Oh, you're welcome. I like that intro. The original and the one and only.
The one and only original, the only one that exists, the only important person in the whole universe, Marnie.
Pretty much. I like that. I like the intro.
If you didn't, I think there's something wrong with you, actually.
Right.
So, Marnie, I had you on today to shed some light on a few things that I think that I can't really explain very well for reasons, you know, pertaining to my penis.
Right. I was going to say the penal limitations. Yeah.
I just have a logical brain. That's who I am. I'm a very, very logical guy. And that's sort of what has allowed me to be able to create the systems that I created. But at the same time, I've had to undo a lot of that in order to be able to relate to women and, you know, sort of have two parts of my brain working, not simultaneously because that's impossible, but to have them working sort of together where, you know, when I need to be logical, I can, and when I need to be emotional, I let that happen too. And I found that most of what my my actual success with women comes from me being in my emotional state, which is kind of ironic, you know, considering that most of my life I've had this great, like, logical brain where I can understand stuff, but right. I couldn't get the one thing that I wanted from being logical. And I think a lot of my guys are kind of resonate with that, sort of like being in their heads and overthinking stuff, you know, and there's this sort of big gap between, you know, like technical advice and advice that's so vague, it's useless. Like, you know, just be yourself. Like, you know, okay, well,
right.
I'll just do that.
You're like,
then.
What does that mean? And how does that work?
Yeah, well, how can I be myself and attract women at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. Cause it's not working right now.
Yeah.
The thing is that I think that just be yourself means just be yourself without any filters or any, blockages, meaning that you're not actually allowing the real you to come through. So what you were talking about before, when you said, when you were able to resonate or attract and engage women was when you were acting emotional. And strictly what that means, in my opinion, from a female point of view, it just means that you were present, which means that you were able to connect to a woman emotionally.
Right.
So I don't want anybody to hear about you being emotional thinking that you're crying in front of a woman.
Definitely not doing that.
Turn her on. I mean, sometimes, like, I love when I make guys cry, but it doesn't really turn me.
That's because you're an evil person.
Exactly. But no, for most people, that's not attractive. But what you were talking about before of having the balance between logic and emotion, because logic can actually attract women, but it can't keep women.
Uh-huh,
so if you have a nice balance between the two, then you are a god in a woman's eyes.
So that's all very interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Give me that feedback.
that's a lot to jump into. I basically am going to spend the rest of this interview deconstructing what you just said.
Okay, good, because that's what you're good at.
No, I'm going to ask you lots of questions.
Okay.
So, first off, you've been doing this for how long now?
Almost a decade.
Almost a decade?
Yeah.
Jesus. You started when you were 10 then?
Yeah.
See, guys, write this down. This is how you compliment women.
I'm blushing as we
speak. Assume they're all 20.
Yeah.
But so ultimately, and we've known each other for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And it is, I've seen you, did a lot of stuff, great stuff with your business. You've helped a whole lot of guys, out, and you do get a lot of very, very personal attention to the guys that come through. Tell me a little bit about, just so the guys who are listening can know, tell me a little bit about what sort of your approach is. I know you don't have a specific, like, oh, I believe that, you know,
you should
no
put your hand
scientific.
On the right side of your body. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing scientific really, but tell me a little bit about your approach and like how you sort of come at and approach this idea of improving men, helping men improve themselves with women.
Okay. Well, my main method, because it is the Wing Girl Method, is about believing that you can't turn a woman on until you turn yourself on. And that's nothing sexual, but it's basically saying that if you don't like yourself, a woman's not really going to like you. And if you can lead by showing a woman that you like yourself, respect yourself, you're comfortable with yourself, you're very content in your own life by yourself, then it's going to give you higher results with women because women find that extremely attractive. So my method is all about discovering who you are, what you want, what your goals are, what your boundaries are first. Mm-hmm. Before you even begin to explore women, because like we were talking about before, if you have all these blockages up, blocking you from connecting with women. It doesn't matter, you know, what you wear or how your hair is or how good looking you are. It's going to create, it's going to be more challenging for you to actually connect and attract women. Right. So, yeah.
So this is a very extremely holistic approach to this whole process, instead of sort of throwing, as they say, lipstick on a pig. Really.
Right. Yeah.
Sort of turning yourself into and changing yourself into the best actual best version of yourself before you start, involving a lot of women into your life.
Yeah.
Now, question though, about that sort of process. I think, I'm going to speak from my perspective. So whenever I was first starting this, take it all the way back to before I even knew that it was possible to even get better with women, right?
Okay.
All the way back. And I saw some guys that were good already and some guys that weren't. And I was one of those guys that was not very good already. And if you were to tell me that, it sounds like a ton of work. Like it's possibly never going to happen. Now, having gone through it, I know it's not that difficult. And I know it's actually a pretty simple process, but you need guidance in order to go through it. Do you find that the biggest block for men to sort of get past this one hurdle of improving themselves is something similar across the board? Like you see it often where a lot of guys are having the same problem where they don't explore themselves and don't sort of get that confidence, like you're saying.
Well, definitely.
What would that be, in your opinion?
Well, it's kind of what you just said. I will say that I have, men from all over the world, probably, 50 to 100 men each day writing me, asking me questions, all at different levels, all about different things, really. But what it comes down to, my advice back to them is typically the same thing. It really comes down to respecting themselves first, because they'll ask me questions like, how do I get a girl to like me? And I always say to them, well, let's flip it around. So it's like, how do you decide which girls you like? So at the very base of every question that they're asking, there's this slight confidence issue where they think that women are to be put on pedestals and that women are better than them and that women are something that they need to prove themselves to in order to get. But by just allowing them to first acknowledge that there's a general shift in their mindset that they need to make, which is a very quick thing to do, it helps them realize that actually all options and choices are in their control. And from that point, once they realize that, then they can slowly start to go through the process of getting the women that they want. So exactly what you were saying before, I think the fear is that it's such like a big thing for them to suddenly change into this other person. Mm-hmm. When in fact, all that you and like, we both sort of suggest similar things, or both of our programs are kind of similar at the core. You have a very different method of doing it.
Right.
But what it is saying is it's really talking about respecting yourself first and flipping your mindset, because then everything is achievable.
Okay. So, I've heard a lot of conversations like this. It sounds like it almost sounds too good to be true to a lot of guys, I think,
Right.
And that's sort of what I'd like to debunk today, if at all possible, because I know that you've gone through a lot of this, process of sort of opening guys' eyes to seeing that it's not some crazy too good to be true kind of ideal or something, that it's actually going to happen for you. Like, doesn't matter what kind of a guy you are, it will happen for you. You will make the shift.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I have a lot of guys who fight me on it. And I understand that those guys typically are not ready to accept what I have to say. So I just put as much information out there, and they can, come back to my site where there's tons of free information available, or they can buy my products and read it. And hopefully, it will eventually ship them so that they maybe think a different way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys come to me and argue, saying girls only like hot guys and girls like bad boys. And I can tell that there's just so much frustration and anger there. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to do first is just expose them to hundreds of women who say the opposite. And it's not that they're just saying it to be fake and just to show guys that girls are really nice. Like, I have this one program that I have on my website called What's Inside a Woman's Mind, mm-hmm. where I have right now 42 girls doing interviews on the questions that most men have asked me over the decade that I've been working with men. Mm-hmm. And I've recorded them and pretended to turn off the recording button and then continued with our conversation.
Sneaky.
So that I can get so that I can get real information out of them. And they say exactly the same thing. They actually even go like, three levels deeper in honesty, where they're just not trying to be nice and polite for an interview. Mm-hmm. They kind of like let the raunchy stuff out, but they do say the same thing. They're not like, oh yeah, it only matters about looks. You get to hear that women say completely different things. That yes, looks are important. How you put yourself together is important, but that's like one box that's checked. There's about 30 to 40 other boxes that need to be checked in order for women to want to sleep with you, date you, be with you, be attracted to you, even in the short term, but mainly for long term.
I would like to note that you don't even need all the boxes checked. I mean, yeah, there's 30 right. or 40. You don't need all of them checked. You just need a majority of them checked.
Yes.
Or just more than most guys they've met would be even awesome, which most guys I would guess probably have somewhere around three
right.
of those 50 boxes.
When I was single, I would go out and I would, you know, be hit on by a guy who would be flirty and bantery and funny, and I would like that. And I would talk to him and flirt with him and banter back. But after about 5 minutes, and he wouldn't show me that he had anything else. So I would get exhausted. I would get tired. And then I would look around the room and try and find a female friend of mine to give the help me eyes to mm-hmm. so that I could suddenly get away from continuing conversation with this guy. Some people, like, they think, okay, I've got a sense of humor and I can tease her and banter and, you know, neg her a little bit or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have anything else, and like you just said, you don't need to check all 30 of the boxes, but you need to have something more than just being hot or just being funny or just being poetic. You have to be a much more well-rounded person.
So what would you say then is the biggest hurdle that you see sort of guys that stands in the way of a guy, like an average guy, like, you know, someone like me, you know, before yeah. I really started studying this and amazing success with women where they're sort of, it's a natural part. Cause I know that for me that the very far distant future for me when I first started was that someday I'm not going to have to think about this. Right. That was very, very, very far distant. And in my head it was, you know, I didn't know. I remember sitting on I've been studying about 5 years at this point, and I hadn't gotten anywhere, by the way. I was still absolutely yeah. terrible, but I was finding the direction that I needed to go in, right? I was sort of finding that path, and okay. then a whole bunch of rapid change happened all at once after that. But okay. I remember sitting with my friend at the time, having coffee and reading through a book that was like a book on, I forgot what it was on, something like probably body language, how to read body language or something yeah. At the time. And he turned to me and he goes, Josh, wouldn't it be awesome if we could teach this stuff for a living?
Yeah, that's how I started too. It's so funny. Okay.
And I said, won't it be awesome when we are teaching this stuff for a living?
Mm.
And he was like, and he had this weird look on his face, like he couldn't really handle that idea. Like it was just a really fun thing for him to think, but he didn't want to actually do it. And then 3 years later, I became a professional coach, you know?
Really?
So I was really, really bad at what I did. And then, but I knew that there was some answer and that I was going to get to it. Or I was going to die trying, you know, period. That's just kind of what it came down to for me. So I know that for me, it was like, I saw it very, very far in the future, but I didn't know how far it was. And that's what I think scares a lot of guys. I think so too.
I think they think about it large. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no, it's okay.
That's what I do. I get excited about stuff. I think a lot of people think about things big picture and they think about the largest end goal. So for example, men who have a fear of approaching women. So usually when I talk to any of my clients and we break down what the actual fear is or what's stopping them from approaching, it's typically mm-hmm. because they have a big idea as to what the approach will actually mean. So for example, if I ask a guy, you know, what do you want from the approach? And he'll say, well, I want to approach her. I want her to like me. I want to get her phone number and I want to go on a date with her. And I was like, that is a lot to request from somebody you do not know. Why do you want her phone number? You don't even know her yet. All you know is that she's attractive. She could have a horrible, horrible breath. She could be a complete bitch. She could be like have some weird twitch that you can't stand. Like you have to drill that goal back to having a smaller intention, which is, okay, I'm going to go approach this girl and see what she's about. And I think It's the same thing for, you know, the overall view of being with a girl, because guys have this big goal of they want to walk into a bar and see every woman in there and have every woman want him and want to go home with him and want to have sex with him. And it's, again, big picture goals. So I think what you did was you probably started to see it in smaller goals and smaller intentions, which is similar to the way that I learned to do this stuff. You know, I didn't use it to pick up women, but I learned to make myself more comfortable and confident.
Right.
But once you drill back and you start giving yourself smaller goals and smaller risks to take, it makes it a lot easier to progress through the stages rather than trying to tackle this massive goal.
It's funny because the way you describe it is pretty much exactly what I went through. So like I had in the beginning, the thing that actually made the shift the fastest for me was realizing that that I needed to dial it back.
Right. You know? Well, it's interesting. I'm doing this program now with a common friend of ours, Carlos Zuma. Mm-hmm. And we had it's a 4-week program, and we had the first week we had a call. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about practicing and about how we envision others who are successful. And I thought it was really smart what he said, because he's like, most of the people that we view as being successful, mm-hmm. we only see them by their accomplishments. We don't see them by what they had to do to be accomplished.
Right.
So, for example, you look at Steve Jobs, okay? Or even if you look at the two
let's
of us.
Let's not look at Steve Jobs.
Okay, let's not look at the two. Let's look at the two of us, but we're equally as awesome to Steve Jobs.
Let's look at someone who's still alive.
Fine. People who are still alive. Okay, so for me, I'll give you my story. So I used to have extreme approach anxiety. Mm-hmm. I freaked myself out when in social situations with people. And at the age of 20, I gave myself a stroke because I was living in my head and putting so much pressure on me to make friends, to interact, to say the right thing, to have people like me, to be popular. It actually caused me to have a stroke. And when I, you know, didn't get over my stroke, but when I got a lot better, I made it a huge goal for myself to not let my head take control of the way that I thought about myself. And so I happened to be backpacking at the time, and I was backpacking with one of my best friends who happened to be the most outgoing person in the entire world, and that would really upset me because she would go out, we'd be staying in a hostel, she would go outside, have a cigarette, come back in and have 10 friends. I took up smoking and went to the patio, and it didn't work. And I was like, okay, I have to figure out a way to actually, you know, gain a personality and gain some confidence so that I can say the things that are in my head and I can be comfortable. Right. So what I did was I gave myself the assignment of going out every single day. This is the small step that I'm talking about first, because mm-hmm. I approached 10 people every single day, and I wasn't allowed to go home until I did. And the first day, my goal was only to say hi. It wasn't about anything that I would get back from these people, because it didn't matter. Right. It was about me successfully going and saying hi. And that felt great. And I saw that people were responding to me. And then I had the next day where I gave myself the assignment to say, hey, how are you doing? Next day, I had to ask a question. Do you know what time it is? And I kept progressing. And then I eventually got to a level where I would create like a scavenger hunt list before. So I would have to go up to somebody and I forget what it was, but like I had a whole scavenger hunt list, and I couldn't go home until my scavenger hunt list was completed. And by the time I was done these things, it was just me having fun with myself. And I was more concerned with my enjoyment than with what other people thought. And that's what slowly helped me go through. It wasn't actually slowly. It was actually pretty quick because I focused a lot on it. So probably after about 2 weeks, I definitely started to notice a huge change in the way that I was interacting with my friends, with my family, with strangers that I had never met before. I remember the girl that I was backpacking with, we had split up for a little bit, and about a month later, we met up in New Zealand, and we went to a bar, and I got on stage and sang with the band. I started pulling people in from like around the bar to dance with me, and she's like, "Who are you? You're a changed person." And at that point, I was like, you're absolutely right. I am a changed person. But more importantly, I'm the me that I've always known that I can be, that I just wasn't letting out before.
Right.
So that's the just be yourself. It's the me that I envision myself being. And I was finally allowing myself to be that way.
That's awesome.
Thank gosh.
I feel like I've done something similar, except that I think that my goals were a little bit lofty compared to yours. Like, you know, you had it, like, I think that you actually got to the next step and you're like, okay, what's next from here? And I think that, again, I had that, like, that big, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go over here. Then I'm going to learn this thing. Then I'm going to learn this thing. Then I'm going to master this. And I kept going, kept going, kept going, kept going. But what I did find out is that I never really know what the next step is, you know? Right. And unless you have someone to guide you through that process, sort of step by step, someone who can show you what they've learned, who's already been through it, then you're sort of going to freak yourself out if you try to go too far in the future like I did. You know, I don't know why, but I had some really lucky, I guess, experiences with long-term planning.
Right.
Like my girlfriend that now you know, Kelsey and I've been dating her for almost a couple of years now. And that was an 8-year plan for me. Like when I first met her, you know, I got into all this stuff because I didn't know what I was doing with women because I met her and I didn't know how to keep her. And then almost eight years later, about 7.5 or so years later, I run into her again randomly and then it works out, you know, because I know all this stuff now. So it's kind of like you have to, I see what you're saying. So this illustrates a lot better that point that you had earlier, which was that you have to sort of get your shit straight for yourself before you can start inviting other people in.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is sort of what you mean by that. Take it little steps at a time and assess where you currently are. Now, I know that you do assessments for people, and you've sort of – you love doing that. I know that. It overwhelms me to have to do a lot of personal assessments.
No, I love it because I can feel them. That is the one special thing about me being a woman and working with men, mm-hmm. because I can tell them exactly what a woman's feeling because I get a sense for them. I can tell if they're not – even just from their emails that they write to me, I can tell if they're anxious, if they're pouncers, mm-hmm. if they can possibly be creeping out women but are really, really good men who just don't know how to express themselves the right way. Mm-hmm. From their pictures that they send me, I can tell them like little tweaks to make that actually will enhance their image tenfold so that women will actually come after them. Like there's this one guy that I worked with named Alan. He's super cute, but he dressed like Bill Gates. Like he dressed like a big nerd and that's not who he was at all. But because he dressed that way, it made it harder for him to interact with people because he had this outside persona,
right.
And that he believed, and then an outside persona that other people believed as well. So he did a few tweaks, and he actually worked with one of my wing girl stylists. He's amazing in New York, and he now has women stopping him. Like when he's out at bars, he'll have women stop him and comment on his clothes and just be like, your outfit is amazing, your jacket's great. So it's like it gives him the extra minute, mm-hmm. to gather himself, gain his confidence. And we've worked on other areas as well of like how to have conversation and how to be comfortable and how to approach women, how to elevate to that next level that you want to go to with a woman and ask her for what you want. Right. But that gave him that little foot in the door, just those looks. But from me and my gut feelings as a woman, I tell guys where they could make their shifts to produce better results with women.
I think that one of the big mistakes that I think is kind of going around in this. I think it's one of the big well, not really mistakes. It's sort of one of the things that have been overlooked a lot.
Ooh,
is the well, put your name and your email in here, and I'll send you the answer. No, one of the big things I think that's been overlooked by a lot of us sort of coaches is I think that we tend to play down the true, honest female perspective. But mm-hmm. then again, it's so rare to find an honest female perspective that's probably why we play it down. You know, I mean, a lot of women mean well, I think, when they try to give advice to guys, but, and I would probably, if any guy were to tell me some random girl was giving information, like telling him what to do, my immediate thought would be like, oh my God, you're screwed, dude.
No, same with me. I would say the same thing as well. Be like, don't listen to any of these girls. Like, you got to be really careful with what you're asking for and the way that you ask for the information. Yeah. Because I can say the same thing. Most girls give horrible advice. Depends.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that women are giving bad advice when it's in their best interest, obviously, to give good advice? I mean, I don't.
Because no matter what, they still want to be seen as the deliverer of great news. They want to be the supporter. They want to be the caregiver. They want the other person that they're trying to give their advice to grow from love, basically.
Right.
They don't want to be hurtful. They don't want to be put into an awkward position where they may hurt somebody's feelings, and then that person may not like them as much as they did before.
Right.
And then a lot of girls actually just don't know what it is is that turns them on, what attracts them, mm-hmm. What hits their trigger points. And for me, when I, you know, I started this when I was 23 years old.
Uh-oh, don't do that. You just dated yourself.
No!
I'm so old. If you know math at all, you know how old Marnie
no,
is now.
No, don't listen. I was 11 years old and I started doing this and giving my advice. No. you know, I've learned a lot more about myself throughout the years, and I've learned how to more clearly articulate what it is that goes on inside of my mind and other women's minds to women. To men, to tell men what actually goes on inside. And the main thing that I didn't have, I think that probably a lot of women have, is the ego. I thought that me giving the honest opinion really helped guys. And I learned that because in the past, I had amazing guy friends. And they would come to me for advice, and I would give them horrible, caring advice. And I saw that it wasn't getting them results. It wasn't doing anything for them. Mm-hmm. And I actually went out with one of my guy friends because he's like, come out with me, watch what I do, and just honestly be honest with me and tell me how I am with women.
He's a smart guy.
I know, exactly. And that's like one thing, like, honestly, if you have girls in your life, if you ask them properly to be your wing girl, they will do this for you. And it's so helpful and so amazing. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm like, you know, losing clients left, right, and center for saying that. But honestly, go out and ask great female friends to assist you, because they will love to assist you with this. Mm-hmm. So he took me out and I watched him interact with girls, and I just suddenly started feeling this extreme discomfort because I was like, oh my God, do I tell him that he's horrible? Do I tell him what this girl's really thinking? And it was so bad for me. I started sweating. It was awful. And I pretty much avoided him for like an hour, like to give him a proper response. And at the very end, he's like, honestly, be honest with me. Cause he came back after talking to this one girl where from what I watched, I was like, she is never going to answer her phone when you call. She's not interested in you. And she kept trying to break away from the conversation. And on his side, he kept seeing this girl's into me. She's going to go on a date with me next week. And I'm super excited and I've done a good job. And so he said to me, what did you think? How did I do? And I gave him my honest response, and he was heartbroken, and that hurt me to do, but I knew that I had to tell him. I absolutely had to tell him. And so we ended up talking for about 2 to 3 hours, and he just threw question after question after question at me. And at the very end, he said to me, do you realize how amazing that information was that you just gave me? I have never heard that stuff before. I would have never noticed any of the things that you said. And now that you've told me that, I feel like I can be better with women. It was really strange because I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what I just said. And then after that...
Did you write that down?
Yeah, I said these gems that I'm spitting out. I was really just being honest for the first time with him. Mm-hmm. And he went out a couple of nights later and he used some of the things that I said, just like mainly things for him to think about and for him to watch in the woman that he was interacting with.
Right.
And he ended up getting better results. So suddenly all my guy friends started coming to me for dating advice, and I would give them all dating advice, and I would help them meet women and pick up women and give them advice from the beginning of dating or interacting all the way up to long-term relationships. So now all my guy friends come to me. They don't go to their guy friends. And, you know, since I realized I was really good at that and extremely successful at getting my guy friends what they wanted, mm-hmm. I opened up my skill set to the rest of the world. And now I want to offer other wonderful, great men of the world the same, you know, beneficial information that I'd given to my guy friends.
So... a couple things I want to say here. One is that this reflects something very eerily similar, and I'm not surprised, but it's very similar to another interview that I recently did with a guy named Rob Judge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know Rob, don't you?
I don't actually know him. I just know him through his products. Yeah, I don't know him.
Okay. We both spoke on the Fearless event, obviously, that happened.
Oh, yes, met him there. I did meet him, yes.
Yeah, so you met him. So he's a very, very, very smart guy. Very smart. But a lot like me, very logical, you know? And I asked him a question that I would love to ask you, but I'm going to spoil it now, so I can't. But that question was, if you could take any concept and sort of stick it into the mind of every guy in the world, what would it be? And he was like, okay, well, he's like, I think I know what it would be. And I was like, okay. And he says... I want every guy to know that women aren't on the other team. They're on our side.
Right.
You know, and this is something that, you know, I thought for most of my life too. I mean, this is exactly, it's exactly such a huge point that to realize that women are actually on our side, you know?
Yes.
That they want what we want. They want the exact same thing. And for most guys are raised to think that women are on the other side of the fence, and we have to like, and Rob was saying this, we have to like trick them into liking us, you know?
Right. Or prove yourself to make them like you.
Right. But you don't have to do any of that stuff.
No, not at all. And I actually think that would be one of the things that I would say as well. If you had like one thing that you could stick in a guy's head, it's women want to be approached. Or, you know, one other thing is, see, this is the woman side of me where I'm going to give 8 things even though you asked for one. But basically that you can get whatever you want as long as you ask for it and as long as you're not hurting, manipulating, or being dishonest.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it might be too simple. It's too simple of a description for something that sounds really, really big. So could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. So I work with a lot of guys, and this one guy actually wrote into me recently and told me about this girl that he's seeing in college or that he's hanging out with in college. They're not like being intimate or anything, but he likes her. She's his tutor. They flirt with each other.
Tutor?
Yeah. She's his tutor for something. I don't know. Kinky. Yeah, I know, right? It could be fun. And she gave him her private email address and her private phone number rather than going through whatever service he found. I don't even know. But basically, he said, "What do I do now? What do I do now?" And I said, "Well, you ask her out. Sounds like you have a good base. Ask for what you want. Figure out what you want and ask for what you want. And what you want is like what I'm hearing is you want to ask her out." And he's like, "Well, if I ask her out, then won't she know I like her? Isn't that bad?" And I was like, "What? Are you I don't know what type of like manipulation you would like to use to get her to want to go out with. I don't even understand where he wanted to go with it. Then, like, did she want this girl to suddenly turn around and ask him out?"
Yeah, of course she did. Of course that's what he wanted, you know?
But that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen for any guys who are like, "Okay, well, I'm there and I'm hanging out with her." Like they're waiting for this girl to suddenly turn around and say, "Oh, I'm going to be a man for a moment. I'm going to ask you out and take you on a date." It doesn't work like that. So the concept of ask for what you want goes into first figure out what you want from this woman and then ask for it if you want to go.
I think that a lot of guys, what they do, again, though, and it's really important and I think a very key element of this asking for what you want process is realizing that you have to ask for one step above where you are, not 10 steps above. Like I'd really like for you to have my children. That would be kind of a forward, right. That'd be kind of a forward thing to say.
You never know. You could get some good responses from that.
You could, but you probably have a smaller, statistically speaking, is the smaller number. Yes. So, you know, I think that the big question here then becomes, how do we know what is one step ahead and what is 10 steps ahead? You know, how do we know? Because from a guy's perspective, like I'm just speaking again from how I used to think, you know, from my perspective as a guy and from, I know a lot of other guys that have this experience too, but I want to really speak for me here, is that in the beginning of all this for me, I couldn't tell the difference. I couldn't tell the difference between something that was reasonable for me to ask for or something that was outrageous for me to ask for. And I think that's a big problem, is that how do you know as a man, like, and from your perspective, Marnie, mm-hmm. I'd really love to hear your answer for this. How do you know as a man what is too much to ask for? You know, what would make her kind of recoil whenever you ask, and what would make her, you know, say, "Okay, cool, let's do that," you know? And what is the commonality there? Like, what's the thing we can take it apart and find the thing that makes it work and then know it and understand it, you know?
You want me to create a system right now.
I don't want you to create a system.
One step, two, step three. What I would say, actually, if you want an exercise for figuring out what you want, and this is just to do in the very beginning stages, you know, because once you do it a few times, it can become more automatic for you. Mm-hmm. I would say to take out a piece of paper and literally write down where you are right now. So where you are right now is looking at a girl that you really like, and think is attractive. That's where you are right now. possibly. Okay. And then looking at what you think in your mind is the end goal. So, for example, you would write down, I want to go on a date with her so that we can have sex. And that's like at the bottom of the page where you write that down.
Okay.
And then if there's some way for you to plot the little mini steps in between mm-hmm. what we're going from where you are right now to having sex. So in order to have sex with her, you're going to have to talk to her. And then in order to...
Maybe.
You never know. Never know. But like to plot down the little mini steps in between. And if you are a logical thinker, you can logically see what the steps are to make that possibly happen. And that's what I'm talking about, drilling back from a big idea or a big goal. Because the big idea and big goal is I want to go on a date with her and take her home and do dirty, dirty things to her. Mm-hmm. And the smaller goal is, okay, I see a hot woman and I want to walk up to her. Like literally, that's the first step. Walk up to her and start talking to her. That's right. The first step. So then you have to fill in those gaps in between. And then hopefully, you know, you can evaluate what's appropriate and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But for some guidance, I will tell you that literally you can ask a woman for whatever you want. You literally can. Because if you're at a club and you see a woman who is leaning up against a wall mm-hmm. and you go up and your intention is very clear, and you know that you want to be sexual and you're not seeing this woman as an object, but you want to have a fun time and you want to take her into the bathroom and have sex with her, mm-hmm. you can ask for that. You can ask a woman for that. So I don't want to give limitations as to what you can ask for mm-hmm. because that has to be within, you know, your own decision-making process, because then I feel like it's too robotic that I'm saying don't ask this but ask that.
Right, right. So basically work it backwards from your end goal step by step. So like if we are, and you can be as specific as you want to probably, I mean, I'm guessing you could probably say, you know, I want to have sex with you. Okay, well, that's great. Now what's right before that?
Right.
We are taking our clothes off. Okay, so I want to take our clothes off. Okay.
And right.
Before that, again, and keep going back, I want to kiss you. I want to touch you and hold your hand, you know, all the way back to I want to walk over to you, right?
Exactly.
So then you have a clear roadmap, but you know, if at any point it starts to go awry, I think that the thing that for me, this is a really exciting concept by the way, the thing that for me that helped me the most was, and you were saying this earlier, this is sort of exactly what you did with your social anxiety. You know, you took the first few steps, like I want to walk up, I want to say hello, I want to have conversation.
Yeah.
You keep doing those until you can do it consistently, and then you move on to the next one.
Exactly.
Right? So it's not necessarily about this one girl. It's about you improving yourself, and you got to keep that in mind, you know?
Exactly. And that's actually what I tell most of the guys that I work with. I'm like, it's not about her yet. It's not even about any of the hers that you're going to encounter. Mm-hmm. You're doing your research right now. You're doing your practice. You're working on you. These other women that are out there are just going to be part of your process. But if one of them happens to stick and is interested in you, that's great. They can be part of learning some other process.
Right.
But yeah, exactly what you just said. It's about focusing on you first mm-hmm. and then focusing on the woman second. And then when you decide to become a we, then you can decide to focus on we moving forward. And that's
on the we-ness.
On the we-ness, exactly. But that's
focus,
a whole...
focus on I-ness, then you-ness, and then we-ness.
I like it.
Just lots of weenus everywhere.
I like the weenus.
So, it's a question though. If you're going to be doing, you know, this is probably a question in a lot of guys' minds. I'm guessing if it's not, it will be as soon as I say it. you've got a lot of work to do as far as you're saying research as a man. If you're doing your research, you've got a lot of research to do. I mean, you have to do this for a lot of women, but there has to be a way that's easier to get real solid, like, you know, unfiltered, uncensored advice and opinions from women all at one time, instead of having to go, you know, because let's say I interact with women. This is probably honest, actually, if I had to say this. If I meet 100 women today,
yeah,
one of them will probably be honest with me from the get-go. One.
Right.
Most likely it'll only be one. And the rest I'll have to, I mean, I can see through a lot of the, you know, stuff that women put up, which is why I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. But I had to learn that over time, and I had to interact with thousands of women in order to get that place, you know? So right. I'd say that I talked to 100 women today. I find one that's honest with me, and that's assuming that I know the difference now. Assuming that I know mm-hmm. the difference between someone who's lying and telling me the truth. right. which is a big assumption. You know, there's got to be an easier way to do this than to approach, you know, 10,000 women and then decipher who's been telling you the truth and who's been lying. And I know that you sort of, with this in mind, put together some really amazing material.
Yeah. Where
you said you had that for the, you had 40 something women? 40?
Yeah. Well, I was talking about that before, actually. Okay. So originally it was 20 women and I bumped it up to 42 because I keep doing more and more interviews. Yeah. Oh, right. Is it really?
It's a tattoo on my arm.
42?
It is.
I don't know. You have a lot of tattoos on your arm.
I do have a lot.
I'll look at it next time. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, fine. So I have 42 now, but then it's like free updates for life. So I'm just going to, I like researching and interviewing people and finding out their opinions and thoughts and points of view and whatever. I'm going to keep adding to this program for the rest of my life, I think.
Cool. That's awesome.
But so it's just as many, all these wonderful women that, I ask them the questions that men ask me. So for example, I have women being asked, you know, what positions do you like mm-hmm. with sex? How everything around sex.
What's the most common answer to that question, by the way?
The best position?
Yeah.
Actually is missionary, but it's, there's even like a step behind
boring.
It where it's not even talking about missionary,
yeah,
but it's talking about the emotion and the connection that they feel to their significant other. So for example, like if I were to talk about myself, like I know that I'm uncomfortable getting into certain positions unless my husband now, but the people that I'm with are helping make me as comfortable as possible and being connected to me sexually. Mm-hmm. And then I am open to go into any position and bend any way, which, you know, whatsoever. Right. And I'd be very happy with that. And that's what I found from my interviews is that most women are exactly the same. If you can ease a woman's mind mm-hmm. first sexually, she will do anything for you. It's actually pretty amazing. I asked them, you know, how do you want to be approached? What kind of man do you like? What are the top qualities you like in a man? What mistakes do men make on dates that they probably don't know that they're making? Ooh. Why are women wishy-washy? Why do they flake? What makes you answer the phone? Why do you give out your phone number and not answer the phone? How can guys tell if that's what's going to happen to them? Mm-hmm. What to do on a first date? Where to go on a first date? What women like on first dates, what women like on second, third, and fourth dates, how to initiate a kiss, how to go from kissing to being sexual. Like, honestly, I've talked about everything with these women, and they were wonderfully open and candid with me, which I absolutely adore. For most of them, I did, you know, kind of lie to them a little bit and turn off. I told them after, and most of them were okay with it. And I have some other ones where people weren't so okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I pretended to turn off the, you know, recording button. And then I tried to drill a bit deeper with these women. And then like really, you know, interesting and juicy tidbits of information came out that I wasn't expecting. Like some of these women, I didn't expect them to be so different from our initial interview. Like there was this one interview that I did with someone and we were talking about nice guys versus bad boys. Mm-hmm. And I think like she was sort of leaning towards the bad boy thing. And she was saying that, yeah, guys do have to be bad boys. I stopped recording and she goes, oh my God, Marnie, I met the nicest guy that I'm totally into. I've never been with somebody who's so nice to me and it's so refreshing. And I'm like, oh, where was this conversation during our interview? And she's like, well, I thought you wanted me to say that women like bad boys, that you can teach guys how to be bad boys. I was like, no, this is the information I wanted you to be saying. And I was recording it the entire time. So they, you know, I have that on there, but it's just interesting. Number one, to hear that sort of shift in women about them being in interview mode and them being in a real mode afterwards. And then also like to get to hear what they're really thinking and feeling. And I, you know, I'm really good at pushing women to give honest answers rather than surface level answers. And it's really interesting information. And the women are of all races, of all ages, different backgrounds. It's just a really, it's fascinating information and research for me. But yeah, that's a program that I was talking about that I have on my site. So that if you do want to know all these answers, you don't have to go research for 8 years on your own. You can find it.
That was like my major, you know, problem is that, you know, or my major objection really is that, we have to get the truth, you know? And it took me a very, very long time to find the truth, which is what I eventually built into, you know, a pretty straightforward program that I built. you know, the Tao of Badass, which is what I have now. And we have, but that was, you know, the result of years and years and years and years and years of approaching and talking to women and everything. And so the what to do part is there, the what's, you know, in people's minds is there, like what, you know, the mindset for men, but I don't hardly ever go over what women think in that process. And the reason why I don't is because I honestly don't think I'm qualified to do that. I don't think that hearing a guy explain to you what a woman thinks is a good idea.
Well, women don't think. Well,
so there you go. You heard it from here, Frank and Marnie. Women don't think, period.
Yeah.
You don't have to say the rest of that.
Every woman will hate me now. Yeah. But like every guy always says, what do I say to a woman to make her want me? And I always tell them, it's not about what you say. It's about the way that you say it. Because we're feeling you. We're not actually listening to your words. It's about what your words are representing and the character that's behind your statements.
Right.
We feel you. We don't actually hear you. I don't listen to most of the words that my husband says to me, but I can feel underneath those words.
I'm telling him you said that. Yeah. He probably knows by now, I guess.
He knows, exactly. I'm very open with it.
Well, you know, that's you know, to me, I guess, this is refreshing to sort of hear, because I haven't really had any women on this interview series that I do, and nice. You know, the temptation is just to go, hey, from a woman's perspective, what do you have to say? But there are over 3 billion women in the world, you know? Why do we want to ask one woman's perspective specifically and assume that that's the same for all? That's why I was really excited to ask you, because I know that you've got lots and lots of experience asking all these different women, and you're not speaking for yourself only here. You know, you're speaking for every woman that you've run into and that you've put together and compiled over time. And it's just really, I think you're doing a really great service for guys by allowing them to shortcut, you know, the years and years of research, like you're saying. But it does take that research, so you have to have that knowledge, period. You can't...
Oh, yeah, just like with anything. If you're going to take piano lessons, you can't just sit down and you know, play. It doesn't work that way. It does. You have to do some research. And
that's interesting you should say that.
Why? Because can you just sit down and play?
I taught myself piano.
But that's the whole thing. It's still teaching yourself piano, right? You're still doing that research. It's the research of what those keys are.
I'll tell you right now... I wish I had taken lessons, because I would have been a lot better now if I didn't just like sit down and try to do it. I think it was my ego, though. I think that's what gets in a lot of guys' ways. Like, they have an ego, like, I can figure this out on my own. Well, if you can figure this out on your own, why the hell are you listening to this interview?
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It's not you. It's definitely not the guys who are listening to this interview. You know, we don't think that. I don't think that I can figure it out on my own. I know I need help, and I know that I needed help in the beginning. I needed help ever since, and I still get help from people to learn the next level stuff that's like mind-blowing for me still. You know?
Exactly. Well, actually, okay. So when I work with guys, and all the guys that sign up for my newsletters or buy my products or whatever it is, I think that they are the greatest men in the world, because they're doing something that most people aren't able to do. And that's asking for assistance and seeking information to better themselves, which already means you have one of the attractive qualities down that women find attractive. You are proactive and eager to improve. And that is super sexy. That's something that women can admire. It's something that they can, you know, see in a man and say, oh, you know what? That's the type of person that I want to be with. And I don't think a lot of the guys who are listening to this, I hope that they're, you know, patting themselves on the back, because first of all, if you're even at this point in the conversation, it's about 50 minutes in and you've listened the entire way through for more information so that you can improve yourself, better yourself, get more knowledge, and just grow as a person, because so many people forget to grow, and that is one of the most unattractive things to women.
That's men so interesting you say that, because it's like when I had to put together my you know, someone asked me one of my common questions that was sort of under the surface for a lot of guys is that, you know, once I get a girl attracted to me, how do I keep her from cheating on me?
Yeah, that's a big question.
I had to like go through and figure out what was at the core of all this, which is what I do, you know, and I found out that at the core of everything, there's that exact statement you just made, and that is that if you're not constantly improving yourself, then you're becoming less attractive over time.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it is. You know, I think that's the same for friends too, though, and business partners, and it's how it is. If you're stagnant, you get left behind always. And so it's difficult to sometimes like get over yourself and realize there's more to learn, even though, you know, and not just you, Marnie, and you are extremely egotistical. I don't want to say that you're not. No,
but this is the way that I see it. Mm-hmm. like, and it's what I'm attracted to as well. And, you know, most of the women that I have spoken to would agree. Interest and intrigue will always be attractive, not just to women, but also to you as a man. If you can find something interesting about everything around you, conversation is endless. Opportunities are endless. Mm-hmm. But so if you're living in a bubble where you're not putting yourself in the position to find new interesting things to absorb and learn and evaluate, then exactly like you said before, you're not growing. Like, I can seriously be interested by, I have a pair of headphones beside my desk. I can find that interesting and I can find that exciting, you know? Mm-hmm. I think having a general love for life or enjoyment of life will always attract people to be around you, mm-hmm. men and women.
Well, I think also though it helps a lot to have people to reach out to. Like, I know that you do a lot, like I said, you do a lot of programs where you actually talk to guys one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I mean, it helps a lot for a guy to have someone like you to reach out to be like, hey, what do you think about this? And to help them sort of experience that being able to find things new and exciting, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. And I love that. I love when guys write in questions to me like, okay, I have this situation with a girl. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do I do now? And actually every program that people buy on my website includes a couple of weeks of email coaching with me. Oh, so people, nice. So if they have any questions about what they've heard or listened to that may be about a particular situation they're experiencing or just questions in general, they can write me and I get off on it. I love it. I love that's like my joy in life because mm-hmm. If I find that it's more research for myself mm-hmm. and I find it really interesting and I don't know what the word, but I enjoy it basically. I really enjoy it. And same with you, you know, you enjoy working with people as well and helping them grow to where, you know, you are now. You were where they were before. And I wasn't trying to attract women before, but overall I was trying to attract people. So I've been in that place mm-hmm. of feeling like you can't do it, but you absolutely can.
You know, I wish there was a way for me to like just have a link up on my site somewhere that would just say, hey, if you want to get, you know, coaching from Marnie, you can click here and you can just do email coaching or something for a week and see how you like it, you know? Maybe we'll work that out so I can get that from you or something. I'm not sure if it's something you do for people who haven't bought your product. If I were you, I'd probably have people buy your stuff first because there's a lot of information they need to know in there first.
Interesting. I would love to offer that to your guys for a week of email coaching with me. I think that would be really good. I can give that to you.
It'd be super fun. I mean, I was just about to say, oh, we should put your email address underneath this. And I was like, wait a second. You're going to get so many emails from so many guys who are asking questions that you have answers to in your book and in your products and your programs that, I mean, it would be kind of silly for everyone to email you like all the same questions that they could just get the answers to immediately just after grabbing your, you know, What's Inside a Woman's Mind program.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just thinking about that. But yeah, if there's some way to do it, definitely guys who, if you are interested, I mean, I wouldn't pass this opportunity up, but if you are interested in a little bit more, I'll have a link below this interview, maybe a button or a link or a dancing monkey you have to click on.
Oh, put a dancing monkey.
I'm not going to put a dancing monkey because the only reason why is because it's going to be so much work. But if I had more time, I would. So you'll probably see a button or a link or maybe both down there, not a dancing monkey. And you click on it, you can get more information about Marnie's program, especially is the program called What's Inside a Woman's Mind that you have?
Yeah, it's called What's Inside a Woman's Mind.
That's the one with 42, exactly, 42.
42, but that's going to be changing.
No.
No, I know it's your favorite number, but I'm going to be adding – well, I have all these interviews with women. I'm just still editing them and trying to get the best information out
Well, of the start interviews. Adding negative numbers in front then.
Fine.
So that it ends at 42.
I'd be like 42 A, B, C.
Exactly. D. There we go. Yeah. Now you're thinking. 42.
But I'm going to get up to about 60. I have probably another 40 interviews to add, but I go kind of slow with adding them. But they're going to be up there soon.
So you get lifetime access to this whenever you buy it? That's nuts.
Yeah. I know, I'm crazy.
Why are you such a saint?
I don't know. I know. I feel like you'll yell at me for doing that.
No, yeah. It's a great idea. I think it's fantastic.
I love it. I love doing the interviews. It's where I get my research, and that helps me be better in my private coaching sessions.
I think it's fantastic. I wouldn't steer away from that at all. I think it's fantastic.
Thanks. I think it's fantastic too.
Well, then we both agree.
Thanks. I like it.
Well, awesome. Marnie, thank you so much for doing all this for us and sort of lighting the path here for all of us guys who don't have vaginas, as far as you know, or that larger corpus callosum, actually, which is the biggest problem for us. You know that? Do you know that? Or no?
Is that your brain? I don't know.
That's your brain or something?
What is it?
Corpus callosum is the thing that connects both hemispheres of your brain.
Oh, interesting.
And women have a larger corpus callosum, which allows them to connect their logical and emotional brain faster, which is why women can blow up and then be fine 2 minutes later. Like,
oh, interesting.
Isn't that amazing? In fact, there's most of our abilities as people hinges on our ability to switch from logical to emotional quickly.
Really?
Yep, and back and forth between the two of them. And men have less of an opportunity to do that, which is why most men are considered to be more stubborn than most women, though I ended up with one of the most stubborn women in the universe, Kelsey. But right. I never did that, obviously. The only person more stubborn than her is me, I guess.
There you go. It's a good match then.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, that's interesting though. And we don't have that insight naturally, I'll tell you that.
I want to understand this for a second. Uh-huh. So you're saying that the work that you did on yourself, mm-hmm. you helped create more pathways between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere?
No, I only have a certain amount. Like I only have a certain amount of actual space, period, but I've just optimized it. Like women have a lot more of an opportunity to, like a lot more potential really to be able to connect to both sides.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really not fair. I don't know why. But we, you know, guys are also awesome.
I was going to say, like sometimes it would be really nice to be a little bit more clear.
Yeah, logical. That's our gift.
Yeah, logical.
Our gift is that once we become logical, it's difficult for us to become emotional very quickly, you know? That's a gift and a burden. Though, again, a lot of the sort of advanced progress, sort of human progress, is based around the idea of having that larger corpus callosum, which is really interesting.
Interesting. And it does change as you get older because your levels of estrogen increase as well. So
drink a lot of soy milk.
Drink a lot of soy milk if you want to start connecting to women on a concert. That's the magic bullet right there.
I definitely suggest against drinking a lot of soy milk.
Yes, do not drink soy milk.
But anyway, we digress a little bit here to the estrogen level. but thank you so much, Marnie, again for getting this call and sort of revealing some of these things to us and being open with us and being honest, because I think that's really rare and very, very, very helpful. So even if you don't get Marnie's program, I hope you got a lot from this. Marnie, I'll give you a link to where I post this so guys can actually ask questions in the comment section and you can write back.
Oh, wow. Okay, wonderful. Perfect.
That way you guys can have sort of a conversation a little bit. And it'd be really great to see you pop in every once in a while and just check it. And it'd be awesome to have you pop in every once in a while in our members area too, actually.
That would be
super fun. We haven't had any other guest coaches get access to the members area, and I would love to highlight you on there because you have such good insight. So
VIP, I like it. See, this is all you have to do: make a woman feel special, and she'll love you.
Yeah, great. She'll, and then we have to reframe the intro.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll like you a lot and think you're a really cool guy, Josh. awesome. Thank you so much, Marnie. And I again, it's been a pleasure. And I'll saw him on this side of the microphone here. The pleasure. So look forward to doing a part two of this in the future and getting more into a few other concepts that we've talked about in the past that I know that are mind blowing, and I want you to share your advice on. So thank you so much.
Thank you.